news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All ears are on the Supreme Court Tuesday as the justices hear three cases about whether Trump can block the release of his bank records. We can listen as the arguments are being held via teleconference, and as was the case last week, the audio is being streamed live for the first time in history. Tuesday is also a big day in the Senate, as Dr. Anthony Fauci and three others testify before the Senate Help Committee. A New York Times article Tuesday morning claims Fauci plans to deliver a very stark warning, quoting him as saying, "The major message that I wish to convey to the Senate Help Committee is the danger of trying to open the country prematurely. If we skip over the checkpoints and the guidelines to open America again, then we risk the danger of multiple outbreaks throughout the country. This will not only result in needless suffering and death, but would actually set us back in our quest to return to normal." End quote. Oh, the White House reaction to that should be interesting. We should note that the White House on Monday finally ordered staffers to wear masks at work when not at their desks. This after two aides tested positive for the coronavirus last week. Donald Trump, who does not wear masks, said at a news conference that it was he who ordered the change. Earlier in the day, Trump tweeted that the fight against the pandemic is looking, quote, much better, with numbers going down almost everywhere. But not so fast. In actuality, infections and deaths rose in some areas, with the total number of U.S. coronavirus deaths now passing 80,000. Trump also said that the U.S. is testing more people per capita than many countries, including South Korea and the U.K., while ignoring at least two dozen other countries, including Germany and Russia, with higher testing rates. Meanwhile, Trump walked out of his own coronavirus news conference on Monday after clashing with two female reporters. Weijia Zhang of CBS asked Trump why he turns testing into a global competition when people are dying. The exchange was stunning, even for those who are no longer shocked by the ugly things that constantly spew from Trump's mouth.
"I've said many times that the U.S. is doing far better than any other country when it comes to testing.
Yes.
Why does that matter? Why is this a global competition to you if every day Americans are still losing their lives and we're still seeing more cases every day?"
"Well, they're losing their lives everywhere in the world. And maybe that's a question you should ask China. Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please."
"Sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?"
"I'm telling you, I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question like that."
"That's not a nasty question.
Please go ahead."
"Why does it matter?"
"Okay, anybody else? Please, go ahead in the back, please."
I have two questions.
"No, it's okay.
But you pointed to me. I have two questions, Mr. President."
"Next, please."
"But you called on me."
"I did, and you didn't respond, and now I'm calling on—"
"Sorry, I just
the young lady in the back, please."
"I just wanted to let my colleague finish, okay. But can I ask you—"
"Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much."
That was CNN's Caitlin Collins, who Trump stopped from asking a question before he took his toys and went home, because she paused to let Zhang follow up on her initial question. Sunday was Mother's Day, and Donald Trump spent the day sending over 100 crazed tweets, a few of them on the subject of what he's calling Obamagate. Huh? The original fake news channel Fox has been giving it the lead story treatment, and at Monday's Rose Garden presser, The Washington Post's Philip Bump asked him what the alleged crime was.
"Mr. President, in one of your Mother's Day tweets, you appear to accuse President Obama of the biggest political crime in American history by far. Those were your words. What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing, and do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?"
"Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected. And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning. Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again. And you'll be seeing what's going on over the next, over the coming weeks. But I wish you'd write honestly about it, but unfortunately, you choose not to do so. Yeah, John, please.
Crime. What is the crime exactly that you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody. All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours.
It bears repeating that that is the President of the United States talking to a Washington Post reporter. Unbelievable. Nearly 2,000 former Justice Department employees jointly called for Attorney General Bill Barr to resign over his decision to drop charges against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. In a letter posted Monday on Medium, former DOJ employees of both Democratic and Republican administrations say Barr, quote, once again assaulted the rule of law. The DOJ last week dropped its criminal case against Flynn after determining in a review that the case was, quote, conducted without any legitimate investigative basis. But, the letter reads, this explanation does not hold up to scrutiny because Flynn admitted under oath and in open court that he told material lies to the FBI in violation of longstanding federal law. The letter was organized by the nonprofit group Protect. It is election season. The Democratic Party is now planning to adopt new rules that could narrow the scope of its presidential nominating convention, possibly paving the way for either a limited in-person gathering or a virtual event. The proposed changes, which are expected to be adopted in a virtual meeting of the party's Rules and Bylaws Committee, would allow delegates to participate even if they don't attend the convention in person. Meanwhile, a special election is being held Tuesday in California's 25th district. That's the Los Angeles County seat that Katie Hill vacated. Republican Mike Garcia and Democrat Christy Smith are running in a very, very tight race. There's also a special election in Wisconsin's 7th, which is a solidly Republican district that Trump won by more than 20 points in 2016. And finally, the Department of Justice is considering whether to bring federal hate crime charges against two white men who shot and killed Ahmaud Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, while he was jogging through a suburb in Glynn County, Georgia. In a video that only recently surfaced, Gregory and Travis McMichael, a father and son, are seen shooting Arbery in the street with a shotgun and a .357 Magnum. This happened on February 23rd. The shooters were finally arrested just days ago after a huge public outcry. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.